This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts from across the world. And today I'm joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Hello. It's a beautiful day in New York. Actually, I haven't been outside, but I think it looked nice on the weather app.
Actually, funnily enough, it's not too bad in London as well. Let's talk Bitcoin, first of all, and this much-awaited ETF debut. So how did Bitcoin do on this ETF debut?
It was a very positive debut. I think when you consider the pricing mechanism worked out pretty well. There were some fears. We all remember what happened with the oil ETF USO. And when prices were extremely volatile, the ETF really struggled. Well, on day one, the Bitcoin ETF did a good job matching the futures price. But more importantly, for the cryptoverse, the trading volumes were pretty significant. Fidelity noted that this was the number one instrument traded. It was very positive. It was also providing enough momentum for Bitcoin to just come very close to those record highs. There was a lot of speculation that we're going to see a sell the news type reaction to yesterday's trading debut, but no, it was positive. I think one of the key takeaways, though, we have to remember, just because you're buying the ETF, it's not necessarily translating into the pro shares into buying actual Bitcoin. So it was positive. Could it have been better? Sure, obviously, but we'd be talking record highs if it went better. But I think there's an assessment as far as how many people were attracted. Did it bring on retail traders? Some are saying no, not really. But I think you have to remember this is day one. I think it was positive for the space, and I think there's this belief that there is still a lot of untapped potential from retail and institutional. That's going to be very positive for the crypto space going forward.
Okay, let's talk oil now, Ed. Looking at the latest numbers, WTI is down around about 1%. And the same goes for Brent crude as well. China's certainly stepped into action over the last 24 hours, and that seems to have had an effect.
Yes, I think for the last few weeks we've been talking about this global energy crisis, and China took steps to let the market know that they're considering intervening in the coal market. I think what we have to remember is that any shortfalls in coal or natural gas is leading to additional demand for crude. So any efforts to secure supplies in other markets could take away some demand that has been priced in for crude. So we saw oil prices, especially Brent, trade lower. In addition to China stepping in, the American Petroleum Institute, they reported another build. This is maintenance season for the U.S., so you take these builds with a grain of salt. But I think you're seeing that the oil market, it's been on a tremendous run, and now it seems that you're starting to see there's a little bit of a stabilization that's happening, and I would not be surprised. It seemed a week ago that Brent was poised to make a run towards 90, and it hit a wall at 86, and now we're at 84 and change, and I think now that there will be some exhaustion here. So you could see, I think, a little bit more of a short-term weakness here, but that nothing really has changed as far as the short-term drivers for oil. We had some warmer weather forecasted for the rest of October for the Northern Hemisphere, and that's why we've really seen this rally kind of lose momentum. But I would anticipate that if you saw a couple dollars knocked off here on oil, there are going to be buyers emerging. I think this market is still going to remain in deficit. 2 months ago, if we were talking about this deficit, I think the expectation would be that the deficit would be wiped away very early first quarter. Now, people are pushing that into this possibly the second half of the year of next year. So I think you still have an oil market that could run much higher. But right now, it seems like it could be ripe for a pullback.
So no chance of central banks feeling a little bit easier about what lies ahead. You're saying that, yes, oil is down a little bit, but the medium term outlook looks like it's going to head towards that $90 figure and beyond that even, particularly if we have a bad winter.
Potentially, yes. I think that the risks are still to the upside here, and central banks, their job is going to get it. They've had an easy time the last 12 to 18 months, just easy policy. But now you're seeing inflation run wild, and some countries and some economies are really struggling with it. So I think we're going to see that theme of tightening cycles intensifying run wild. We've frequently talked about the Bank of England rate hike expectations. It just seems like we keep moving them forward, and even so with the Fed.
And ironically, of course, we've had the latest official figures for the Consumer Prices Index in the UK, and prices actually dipped slightly in September. That is a surprise for some, but actually, when you look at the comparison with this time last year, it makes quite a lot of sense that they have dipped, because things were a little bit different then.
Yes, very, very much so. I think, you know, base effects are going to make inflation data messy for the next year or two, but we have to remember UK inflation is still above target for the second month, and this is before the Bank of England rate decision. So that's definitely going to, I think, pose a problem. And you're seeing the strains from a reopening of the economy that really just delivered these supply chain pressures. So you're going to see I think more increases in inflation from October. So there's a global shock of transportation issues, higher commodity prices that still remain in place. And I think that you're probably going to see there's no reason to, I think, doubt this major shift in rate hike expectations. So I think we're going higher, and I think hopefully a lot of those pricing pressures will be transitory, but by far that it will take a lot longer for those to, I think, moderate.
Did those UK CPI figures have an effect on the pound? Because I'm looking at it now, down a quarter against the US dollar. And if it had been the other way around and inflation had gone beyond expectations, you can be sure the sterling would have gone up.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And right now, you know, the market has really been struggling to get a better sense here on exactly, you know, when should we anticipate a firm peak in this move with higher prices. And it can't be answered until we have a better understanding of the transportation problems that are impacting both sides of the Atlantic, and also these commodity price pressures. They're still not really being eased. And I think what's happening, you're having a good part of Wall Street now is really jumping on the inflation hedge, and that's going right into commodities. So I think you're seeing that there's a continued momentum here. But I think you know, today's data for the UK was very positive in the sense that, well, you know, everything came in like 1/10 of a percentage point lower on the monthly, annual, and core basis. So I think, you know, that was a pleasant surprise, and that's why you know, you're dealing with a British pound that's, you know, just down 0.2% today. But yeah, if we would have had a little bit of hotter numbers, and yeah, I think you're right, and you know, we'd probably be talking something closer to up 1%.
Okay, let's talk earnings, Ed. And well, as a contrasting figures, really, depending on whether you're tech, whether you're consumer, or whether you're one of the good old-fashioned staples. Looking at those staples, Procter & Gamble didn't perform as well as might be expected.
It was fascinating to see how transparent they were with the pressure that their margins are having. Procter & Gamble, they supply everything, all the daily household goods. And I think for a lot of people, what really surprised them was that they're struggling to handle some of these recent price commodity price surges and transportation costs. So what was pretty I think for myself, I thought that you're really seeing a market that is seeing this surge in pricing pressures for Procter. It impacted their gross margin by 370 basis points. The commodity prices had just over a $2 billion impact. Freight costs were $200 million higher. Everything, from that report, was screaming inflation. And this is why you're seeing throughout this earnings season, consumer staples have been basically, consumer staples and utilities have been underperforming the most, and I think that you're having a market that now is still kind of fixated with the mega cap tech stocks. Even before reporting, we had Apple surging higher, positive Apple events with new products, MacBook Pros, AirPod Pros, and the new music service. And you had Microsoft near making fresh record highs. Wall Street is completely infatuated again with big tech and consumer discretionary, and obviously materials, because of all the surging we've seen with commodity prices. And I think that you're seeing a lot of these companies, some have no trouble passing on the cost to consumers, and with the demand being so strong, they're able to shine this earnings season. So I think you're going to see that markets are very content now and kind of repositioning. I think consumer staples, long term, you'll see them bounce back once we're through the chip shortage and commodity prices somewhat come down to earth. But right now, no one wants to touch them, and this move back into mega cap tech is what's really helped propel us to back to record high territory. So I think there's a lot of optimism here that there's this fear that inflation could force a quicker tightening cycle by the Fed, but right now everyone's just thinking we see light on the other side of persistent inflation, and growth is going to be strong next year. The U.S. economy will still outperform many of its peers, and you're probably going to see. I think this Fed expectations on rate hikes has been so volatile. Like, exactly 1 week ago, it was possibly December, then end of the week, it was September, or July, and now people are content that it's going to be in the summer that we get a rate hike, and maybe two. But I think it's way too early to really lock those in. I think the way the recovery unfolds, you should not be surprised if we see the Fed somehow manage to avoid raising rates until 2023. So I think there's still a lot to be determined. But right now, equities are still, it's a green light for many traders. And you're seeing holiday spending get done early. Consumer discretionary is doing pretty well. So this is a exciting rotation back into some of the high flyers, and that's why we're still pushing to fresh record highs.
Okay, Ed, thanks very much for joining us today. Have a good rest of your day.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is the Oanda Podcast.